Welcome to Get Right for Sunday. I am Pastor Wright, and today we're going to look at the gospel lesson for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. And it's a interesting text, and it's a little hard because it seems mean. And so this comes to us from St. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. And because they're short verses, I'll just read it real quick. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." And he answered, "I was sent only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. So it's interesting because we see Jesus going out and he goes to his people, the Israelites, the Hebrews, the Jews. And you got this Canaanite woman, and the Canaanites are not Jews, obviously. They're outside of who and what the mission of Jesus is, to go save his people, the chosen people of Israel. And we see that he comes to his own, and his own do not receive him. This is John 1. And it's interesting, because this woman who is outside of this religious circle, this believing faith community or whatever else you want to say in that context, understands and sees who Jesus is. Multiple times she says, "Lord, help me. O Lord, Son of David." This is a huge thing. Because when we just talk about the title Lord, Sarah called Abraham my Lord, and this was a title of honor. Even St. Paul, when he is struck blind by Jesus, he cries out, "My Lord, who is speaking?" And again, it's a title of honor. It's recognizing that this is something bigger than just a mere man or just a mere person. And it's not necessarily relating to Jesus' divinity. But at the beginning of the text, when this Canaanite woman says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David," she has just identified who Jesus is. He is the branch from the stump of Jesse. This is the idea that Jesus is from the house of David. He will be the Messiah, the Redeemer. He will reinstitute, so to speak, or bring about the kingship of David. And David was the prototype of who Jesus is, the true king, the true one who will rule over not just the kingdom of God, but all of creation. And she recognizes this. And this is huge because, again, the Jews haven't really picked up on this. And it is the outsiders who are seeing the divinity of Jesus, the fullness of who he is. And when I say the fullness, this isn't that this woman has exhausted all the doctors. She went to the witch doctor. She went to the herbalist. She went to all the other places, and they couldn't do anything. And because she doesn't have anywhere else to go, she goes to Jesus as a last-ditch hope. She goes to Jesus for mercy. And again, this is huge because this is what the Old Testament promises, that Jesus, the coming Messiah, the Redeemer, the Son of God, will be the one who brings mercy. And this is just huge. And what's even worse is she's crying out for mercy to rescue her daughter from this demon possession. And the disciples tell Jesus, She's so loud and annoying. Send her away. She keeps crying out after us. Just send her away. We got places to go. And Jesus says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And again, that's huge. And he is opening up this statement. I have come to redeem the lost. I have come to my people. And this is not the exclusion of everybody else. This isn't the exclusion of the Gentiles. But he comes to the Jews first. This is who was promised to receive the Christ, the anointed one of God, Jesus. And so that's what he's doing. He's fulfilling the promise. I'm going to my people, my house. And the woman doesn't relent, but she came and knelt before him saying, Lord, help me. She is submitting to the will of God by coming, and this is a submission posture. This is her saying that she understands who she is, her place before Jesus. She kneels before him. And this also makes Jesus stop. He can't just go around her. He has to deal with her. And that's another huge thing. And Jesus, dealing with her, answers, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, dear listener, how does that hit you? That this woman has cried out and has thrown herself to Jesus, asking for help, asking for mercy, and he calls her a dog. His work, his word, is not to be thrown to the dogs. So, surface reading, that sounds awful. Why would Jesus not have mercy? After all, isn't Jesus all about love? Isn't he all about giving of himself for mercy, to redeem, to restore what is broken? And he says, my work is for the house of Israel, and it is not to be thrown to the dogs. So again, surface, just hearing this, it sounds awful. But Jesus is not insulting this woman. And I really, really want to stress that. He is not insulting her. He is making a point, and he is using this to show who, what, where is included in the house of God. And so again, it's the idea that Israel is under the tent, and it's God's people. And there are other people in this tent. These are the Gentiles, the Canaanites, those who know and understand and who believe. Throughout the Old Testament, you hear God telling Abraham, telling Moses, telling Israel, gather the strangers, gather your slaves, gather the sojourners, those traveling for an extended stay with you, and bring them to hear the law, hear the word, bring them to worship so that they will know, hear, and see the God of creation, the God of redemption. So it's the idea that once again, we have this big tent, and there's more than just the people of Israel living in this tent. And they too will see, hear, and receive the work of God. But Jesus is very specific. I have come to feed Israel, not you. And that's true. Now, with that, this is not the exclusion. This doesn't mean that I can't do anything for you. My work is not for you. At this time of Jesus' ministry, he has been called, he has been sent to redeem Israel. Now, again, this doesn't mean that he can't deal with the Gentiles. In fact, throughout all the Gospels, who receives Jesus? It's the sinners, it's the tax collectors, it's the prostitutes, it's the marginalized, it's those who are outside of Israel. They just pick up on who and what Jesus is. They're also the ones looking and seeking for redemption. This woman is part of that. she sees and hears who Jesus is and wants what he is offering. She is so moved by the Spirit to go and throw herself at Jesus' mercy for the sake of her daughter. This is all faith action. This is all her moved by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus picks up on this. And she says, in response to what Jesus said about throwing the bread to the dogs, she says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." This means that she understands her place outside of Israel. But yet the work of God is so big that even those outside of Israel see the work of God, understand the work of God. To what extent, we're not fully sure. I am still blown away that when Joshua goes into Jericho to spy it out, to enter into the promised land, to take the city, you have Rahab, the prostitute, who says, "We will melt before your God." She knows who the God of Israel is. He is the God of action. He is the God of power. He is the one who acts. And this is what is seen by this Canaanite woman. You are the sent one, the anointed one, the Christ, who will bring mercy. You are the one who will bring salvation. And we know this because your work is so big. And I love this because she, in faith, sees who Jesus is. And again, it's not Jesus insulting her. He is showing a picture that he has come for Israel. And his work is so big that it is falling off the table that others may receive it. And she does. And in faith, she receives it. In faith, she goes to get it. In faith, she clings to the hope of who and what Jesus is, the one who redeems, the one who makes right. And Jesus sees this and makes this amazing proclamation. "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And I think this is really huge because just last week, we hear that St. Peter is on the boat and in the middle of the storm, and Jesus is walking on water, and he says, "If it's really you, Lord, call me out that I too will come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." And there you got St. Peter walking on the water, and he realizes, "I'm walking on water." And he takes his eyes off Jesus, sees the wind, sees the waves, and begins to sink. And Jesus, grabbing him, says, "O you of little faith." And here the woman is commended for her faith because she has gone to the mercy seat, the one who has promised to bring hope, to bring reconciliation, healing, and the forgiveness of sins. And this, again, is just so huge because we so easily pass over it. We kind of get stuck on the whole idea that Jesus called her a dog. But again, that is not what he is doing. He is talking about how big his work is and how she is picking up on who he is. So what do we do with this text? So we got the explanation of that and kind of a good overview. But what do we do with this? We at Holy Cross, I think you guys are awesome. I love it when visitors show up because I see you guys. You go out and you introduce yourself. You talk to them. I hear visitors who come back that they were welcomed. They thought everybody was friendly. This is great. And we should be welcoming. We should be nice so that people see us for who and what we are, the redeemed saints of Christ. This is hospitality. And the great thing about this is here at Holy Cross, we are to see God's work as so much bigger than just us, just Holy Cross. We are to take the treasures of heaven, the forgiveness of sins, the promise of the resurrection, God's love in Christ out to the ends of the world. And what's great about that is it's the ends of your world. It's not that you're supposed to travel to the far off places of India or Africa or wherever. You go out into the world, your life, and you bring those treasures that others may see who this Jesus is. Because his work is bigger than your sin. His work is bigger than just your redemption, because he has come for the redemption of the world. He has come to establish, build, and sustain the kingdom of God. And where is this kingdom of God? Wherever he is, which means he's with you, in you. And you get to bring Jesus out into the world by the way you speak, by the way you live. You are the ambassadors of Christ. And as this woman picked up, she saw that Jesus wasn't just one of the other religious elites. He wasn't just a priest. He wasn't just a scribe. He wasn't just a Pharisee. He was the son of David, the promised one. And it really wasn't that long ago. We're talking 15 years, maybe a little bit longer, that everybody in America had a surface survey knowledge of the Bible. And with that, it wasn't that there was an in-depth, but everybody had a simple understanding of Jesus. They may not have believed in Jesus, but they knew the Christian church and the basic doctrine. And again, 15, 20 years ago. Unfortunately, a lot of that's lost. I have been shocked that I am actually telling people who Jesus is because they've never heard the name in connection to God, in connection to salvation, in connection to mercy, in connection to the resurrection, in connection to all of his gifts. And so we see this glimpse with this Canaanite woman that God's work is so big that even unbelievers, pagans, those outside of the church hear. But it's because she had contact. Did she see Jesus at another place? Did she hear about Jesus in another place? We don't know. But the great thing about that is God's work is all around us. And other people pick up, other people see this. And we Christians, we the disciples of Jesus, we get to help those people make that connection. We get to help bring people from the floor, so to speak, to sitting at the table to receive the fullness of the promise of God, not just the crumbs, not just the things that spill over. And this is the joy of the church, because we are to invite, we are to bring, we are to gather others into this community so that they get to belong and believe, and so that they get to believe and belong. And all of this is just gift language. And hearing this text and getting over what Jesus said, the seemingly slight that Jesus gives to this woman, when we get over that and we see the bigness of what this woman is confessing and the work that Jesus gives and delivers to her, that is the promise of the work of the church through what the Holy Spirit reveals, which is nothing less than Christ and his work and the promise of all that the Father has given and done for us. So as we hear this text, let us rejoice that we sit at the table, and let us rejoice that there are seats available for our neighbors, for our family, and for those we have not yet met. And we get to invite, we get to establish relationships and show them the wonderment of God's love in and through the divine service, in and through the work and life of Christ.